Okay. I just wanted to say first, I think it's so beautiful what the Lord has already been doing in worship. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah 2, God speaks to the prophet of Jeremiah, and he's through the prophet of Jeremiah to Israel, and he says, I remember the way you used to love me as a young bride, how you devoted, you walked with me in the wilderness, how you were devoted to me. And then he says, but then somewhere you found fault with me, and he says, I hold these two things against you. You have neglected me as the fountain of life, and you have dug out cisterns, broken cisterns for yourself to drink out of. And I really feel like this is a beautiful thing the Lord is doing this morning. He is bringing us back to that devotion of a young bride, where we drink from the living waters, the fountain of life. We turn away from our broken cisterns that we have dug out. They can't even hold water. They're broken. Cisterns are actually like muddy, dirty water, and they're broken, versus a fountain of life. And I believe that that is what the Lord's doing. He's turning us back to that devotion of a young bride. Okay. So I have a gift here. Who loves gifts? Can't get past that. We've got to start there. Who would like to open a gift this morning? Joanne! You must just open it now.
Tear it.
Go for it. Open it. There's a little on the one side. Open the scroll. Don't eat the scroll. Open the scroll. Okay. So, yeah, today I really felt the Lord. I want to share a story, actually, a very personal journey that I've been on in the last while, the journey of the gift of thankfulness. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, the scripture says, and it's going to come up there, always be joyful. Next. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you've ever wondered what the will of God is in your life, this is the will of God for you. It is rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in every circumstance. Like, that is so clear. And there are so many other scriptures throughout the Bible that point us to living in thankfulness. In Colossians 2 verse 6, it says we should be overflowing with thankfulness. In Psalm 100, it says the way we come into his presence is with thankfulness into his gates, and then into his courts with praise. So in a sense, you could Google thankfulness and scriptures, and you'd come up with a list of verses where God's heart for us is honestly to live in a place of great thankfulness towards him and towards life. His heart for us is to be content and full of joy and full of life. But that's not always how it feels. So, can I ask a question? When you hear the words, be thankful, and even if you saw a beautiful gift, and at the end of that, a little piece of paper that says thankful on it, how does that make you feel? Maybe just like take a moment. How does the words be thankful sit with you? What feeling comes up if you are told to be thankful, to be grateful? So for me, it doesn't have an incredibly positive connotation. So I think as a young child, it brings back childhood feelings, actually. The word be thankful brings back a connotation to a childhood feeling of great disappointment, if I have to be very honest. I think be thankful is an instruction I got when I was obviously not happy. was something I'd received. And I get it now as an adult. As an adult, I realize that life happens. Plans change. We don't get what we want. You know, things don't go the way we planned. But as a young child, I really struggled to come to terms with that. And I think there were a few moments in my childhood where I was honestly disappointed. Plans didn't work out. Things I really had hoped for did not turn out the way I thought they would. And the response was, but be thankful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. And so that association with be thankful actually has more to do in my heart with what I don't have. I feel like, now I've got to be thankful, but actually I don't have what I want. And the dictionary, when you look at the dictionary, thankfulness says, thankfulness is a feeling and a response of being very happy and grateful because of something. Very happy was not what I was feeling as a young child when I had to be thankful. So I was faced with many of these moments in my life, and to no fault of my parents or anything like that, it was honestly just life. But I took these experiences as quite personal and painful, and I learned that I actually stopped even hoping for things. When you feel like you never really get what you want, and then you must just be thankful for what you have, then you start thinking, well, then I don't really want to hope for anything. And you stop thinking like, well, it's easier just to lower your expectations and just be thankful for what you have, you know. That kind of became my outlook on life. Can you see how that happens? Can you see how some basic concepts like love, thankfulness, can even have quite a different connotation in our hearts just because of the way we perceive life? And they actually say that by the age of something like 5 or 7, around there, I'm not a qualified anything, so don't quote me on it, but at a very young age, your worldview is formed. You decide whether you can trust people, whether you are loved, whether you are valuable, whether there's any hope in life. So at a very young age, those things are already starting to form the way your outlook is on life. And for me, I grew up in a loving, caring, incredible family that loved Jesus and really tried to give us the best as what they could. But there are just some things that the way you interpret life just feels painful. And that is a little seed, a crack that was formed in my life from a very early age, is that life is disappointing. And I'd rather not hope for anything. And what actually happens then is, because human nature, we are geared to protect ourselves. So if you touch a stove, you'll immediately pull your hand away because I don't want to feel the pain. In relationships, when we get hurt, we immediately think, oh, I don't want to go there again. That was very painful. You know, we have these built-in mechanisms to try and protect ourselves against pain. So for me, I didn't want to ever feel disappointed again. So the easiest thing to do is then to just see disappointment or far away and then just go like, I can see disappointment. I can see it before it even happens. So then it never happens to me. I'm realistic. I'm practical. I'm logical. And actually, it's my coping mechanism, because now I'm never disappointed because I kind of knew it wouldn't happen. And it's funny how these things kind of become very much part of our personalities even. Our childhood pains become coping mechanisms, become adult personalities, where we just say, I'm the logical one. I'm just super practical. I'm a realist. I don't really dream much. I think that was quite a hard thing for Rian, because he's not like that. He is a dreamer, and he could dream and hope for things, and I would be like, I don't get it. Like, it's not even realistic to go window shopping because all I'm going to feel is disappointed, you know? So it actually seeps into every area of our lives. Like, I honestly was struggling to even dream about what God could do or dream about little things like shopping because it's not realistic. Like, seriously, why would I even go there if I'm setting myself up a disappointment? And disappointment is pain. So that is how my worldview, the lenses with which we see life, is often shaped. And that was my outlook on life. You see everything through this lens of, I'd rather be critical about the situation, realistic, you know, than have hope, than be thankful for what I have. That becomes the lens we put on. But God is kind. And I have honestly loved and walked with the Lord for like 28 years. Since I was very small, I've had a live, living, active relationship with Jesus. So it's not all bad. In his presence, in his house, when we with people here in front in worship, there's this lifting of our gaze and we see him and we see his perspective. And I honestly didn't go through life always critical. It was like in the moments of being here and walking closely to him, when I'm in his slipstream, in a sense, my perspective was different and I had hope and I could have faith for things. But as soon as you kind of become tired, run down, maybe a bit stressed, you know, whatever, life happens, you get busy, not actually so connected with the Lord, not getting to him as often as I should, very quickly that was my default lens. So in those times, it became kind of obvious that I started seeing the world through that. I started seeing my life, my husband, everything. Jean Marie, I think the people closest to us are often the ones that are at the butt end of our cracks. And I think, is that an English saying? Yeah, that's an English saying. At the end, I said it now, so now I don't know. The ones closest to us often feel it the worst, okay? That a better way of saying it? So, yeah, I think it is. In our family lives, in our alone time, it's the thoughts. It's not actually often outward behavior. It's inward battles that we fight in our mind. And it was my inward battle when I wasn't here in his presence, spending time with him, when life was just happening. My default mode is just, I see everything through the lists that are not done, things that are not right, things that haven't yet happened. And that is the consuming thought. Prevailing thought. So in times when we're not our best, when we're not near Jesus, it's like these patterns that kind of come up. And I even justified it because you realize it doesn't happen often. It's not all the time. I'm not always like this. I'm just tired. It's just the end of the year. Like, come on. We all have bad days. So we even justify these patterns in our lives and these places where we know it's not God's heart, but we're kind of stuck in them, and we think, it's okay, I've got it under control. It's not a major thing. I can understand. I'm just tired. I'm just emotional. I'm just. And I really felt like the Lord was starting to push his finger on this area of my life, saying, like, this doesn't reflect my heart. It's downward spirals. These thought patterns are downward spirals. It's not upward spirals where I'm seeing him and I'm seeing his hope and I'm thankful. It's actually like I'm just seeing the things that are not yet. And I felt like the Lord is pushing his finger on me. And scripture says in Mark 2, verse 17, it says, it is not the healthy that need the doctor, it's the sick. God didn't come for those that think they are fine. He came for those who need help, who need healing. And until, as long as I was minimizing this crack in my heart, it was almost like I was not giving God room even to reach that place in my life. And I think we often do that. I think these built-in behaviors and mechanisms that don't reflect his glory, we minimize it just thinking it's part of my personality. Oh, I don't often struggle with it. It's now and then. And as long as we are saying, like, it's okay, it's tiny, I've got it under control, we're actually saying, I'm not sick, I don't need a doctor, I'm fine. And I think the Lord had to really push his finger on this thing, and it is the Lord that does it. I don't think we must go scratching our past and find all the things, but when the Lord starts putting his finger on things, I think we shouldn't just say, like, oh well, it's just who I am. I think this is fine. And even to a large extent, this was my friend. Criticism or a critical lens was my friend. It was my help in life. If ever I felt insecure or I felt like something could disappoint me, it was easier just to say like, hey, you're my friend. You will help me get through this situation without feeling disappointed. So as long as we, in a sense, stick with our cracks and feel like it's just part of me or it's not that big, we're not saying, help me, Jesus. I need a doctor. I'm sick. And so when the Lord puts his finger on something, let's at least be open to say, sure, Lord, help me. Help me see this. I don't see it. It feels like part of me. It feels too big for me to come out of. It feels like it's been part of my life for always, but help me. And once we've opened ourselves up to him, he can say, okay, I can come now. So, yeah, like I say, I felt like the Lord really pushing his finger on this area of my life, saying, like, I don't want you to see everything through this lens. I want you to see things the way I see them. I want you to understand when I say thankfulness, it's not like, oh, disappointed. Oh, you're telling me to do something I don't want to do. But that there's a joy that bubbles up in my heart of what I do have and what he has done, and that my lens in life is, Jesus, you're amazing. You've done great things. You've given me everything I need for life and godliness. You know, that perspective. So, that's been my journey. And so while we were in the Netherlands, so this is now the last while that I feel like the Lord has really been putting his finger on this thing in my life. And then while we were in the Netherlands, there's nothing quite as confronting as being in a room with people that are incredibly thankful to make you feel incredibly uncomfortable about thankfulness. So, yeah. So, I mean, side note in a sense, but even going to the Netherlands was already out of my frame of reference. To have faith for God to do something that big was huge. It was like a risk I took with Rian. He's like, you have to dream about something. Let's dream God could provide for us to go overseas. And I'm like, okay, realistically, it's not going to happen. Like, we cannot, like, it's not going to happen. But almost just to, because I knew this is now God saying, you must have hope. You must see things through my perspective. I was like, fine, okay, let's dream. Let's dream. Okay, let's pretend. Dream. We're pretending to dream. Let's dream that the Lord could do something. Where would you go? I was like, I'd love to go to the Netherlands. Hey? So we just, from the early January, we just had this conversation. I kind of just did it because kind of felt I had to, and I pretended to dream that God was going to do it, and he did. He provided for us to go to the Netherlands, and it was beyond my expectation. So, I mean, there already God was like, I can do it. So great, yeah, it was a big moment for me, my first international trip ever, my first international outreach, going to Living Waters, which I knew I'd seen bits and pieces of them in different, like, 412 exposures, and I just knew there was so much life there, and I knew the Lord wanted to do something in me. So, there we land. And it was exciting. I think the first few days is this whirlwind of adrenaline, and you see we were on a camp, and you just see the Lord move, and there's excitement, and people are loving Jesus. But a few days in, you start feeling a bit tired, adrenaline wears off, and we had some late nights and busy sessions. And honestly, I'm in a different country. I don't have any of you there. I don't have my kids there. I don't have a house. I'm living in other people's homes. You start feeling a bit out of place, you know. So quickly the adrenaline started wearing off, and I started feeling like I'm tired. I'm a bit insecure about my place here. I don't know where I fit in. Now I'm not so sure what the Lord wants me to do here. And that is the moment that lens comes back on again, because now I'm feeling insecure. And the best way to protect myself is rather to go like, you know, I'll put on that lens of life again. And so it was a brief moment, but it was quite severe. And I felt like the Lord allowed it to happen so that I could actually see the state of my heart. So we were sitting in a community meeting the one night, and the heart that those people carry is honestly thankfulness. They are genuinely grateful. So we would be sitting in a calm, and it was a very normal calm. It looks like our comms. People were going around the room sharing what God is doing in their lives, testimonies. Here and there, they stopped to pray for a person. But the responses in the room were just so jarring to me. Like, they are, yeah, every now and then, it would just be like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Like, they would stop, like, Jesus loves you. They'd share, they'd pray for someone and give a word and say, I just feel God loves you. And the whole room would be like, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, genuine, deep, like, thankfulness that came out of their hearts. And they weren't sharing massive prophecies about the future. It was like, God loves you. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I'm like, so, I mean, it was for a couple of, it was like just consistent, this posture of gratitude. Someone would share a testimony, and other people in the room would just be like, thank you, Lord. So anyway, it was a beautiful moment, actually, but I really couldn't see it. So at the end of community, I went to Rhea, and I was like, what was that? Like, what was that? How can everybody be so, yeah, I don't know, like, I didn't even know how to say it, but it just made me feel uncomfortable, because I don't think I've felt that genuine sense of thankfulness. For me, yeah, I think I feel thankful in a moment, but then quickly you see the next thing that's not right. That's my default. So it was just so, amazing to see such a deep sense of thankfulness in the room. And it confronted my spirit that wasn't in line with Jesus. And I said to Rihanna, okay, this was weird. What was that? Like, and thankfully, my husband did not agree with me. And he's like, that was so beautiful. That is what I'm trusting for in our lives. I think there's something maybe wrong in your heart. And obviously, as soon as I said it, and as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, I mean, that did sound really bad coming out of my mouth. Obviously, I do want to be thankful. Obviously, we do want to have a genuine, thankful appreciation for what the Lord has done. And when someone says, God loves you, it's not a small thing like, yeah, I know, but what's next? It's actually like, whoa, that changes my life. And the Netherlands, the church there in the Netherlands is a church that is, they've been stuck, many of the people we've met, they were stuck in dead religion all their lives. They did the right thing out of their own strength. They did the right thing. They stuck to the narrow way without God. And then they meet Jesus and they hear that he loves them and that he wants to have a relationship with them, and they don't have to do this on their own strength, and they find out that there's this thing called the Holy Spirit, and he actually comes alive. So when they say, thank you, Lord, it's like they finally realize all these rules that they've been keeping, it doesn't have to be dead anymore. It's life. So when they say, thank you, Lord, in a moment at community, it's like genuine thanks. They've tasted the goodness of God, and the fact that he loves them is life-changing. And I know that it's he saved me too, but somewhere along the line, just like that disappointment lens of, you know, but there are so many things that aren't right yet, becomes all I see, and I'm not tasting the goodness of God anymore. So, I mean, after that, I was like, shucks, my heart is sick. I need help. So the next morning, I run. And running is often those places I process things with the Lord. And I went for a very long run that day because I had a lot to figure out. And I ran and I ran and I ran. I knew I had to repent because I knew this was bad. I was carrying such a judgmental, critical lens. And I was judging their thankfulness. So I almost thought, like, this can't be real. So I just brought that to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm like, this is not of you. I realize now, I see it. In a sense, I've always known, but I haven't seen how bad it is. And I see it now. And Lord, I need you to take this. And I felt like I prayed and I repented and I asked the Lord, show me where this came from in my heart. And I mean, God's amazing. When we talk to him and we ask him these things, he is faithful to show us, and he's the one that does the work. We don't actually have to. So I feel like he took me on this journey as I was running down the fields in the Netherlands. He took me on this journey where he showed me how my heart had become sick and disappointed and not grateful anymore because of stuff from my past. And I had to just pray, Lord, I forgive Even my parents I felt they disappointed me. Lord, I know it wasn't their fault. I'm sorry that I took everything so personally, and I had to repent and forgive and pray, and I felt like I wasn't going to stop running until the Lord had kind of like put this thing right in my heart, because I knew unless he could give me his life again, I was going to see everything. My whole trip there was going to be missed. I was going to miss the beauty of what God was doing if I was going to see everything through this lens. So I'm like, it has to happen today, Lord. You have to change my heart. I don't want to be here and miss it. It was a beautiful moment of just really crying. If anyone ran past me, thankfully, it was dead quiet. I had tears running down my face. It was, like a moment of really crying out to the Lord, realizing that I needed his touch. And then I felt the Lord put the words of this song in my head, and I'm going to read it to us. Find it. There we go. It's the song called Glorious Day. And it says, I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, because when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. And I felt like the Lord said to me, I'm calling you out of the grave. And I knew then that I was stuck somewhere in darkness. A part of my heart was stuck. And he was saying to me, I'm calling you out of that grave. And I ran. I was running. So I'm like, I'm running, Jesus. I'm running out of this grave. I'm coming into your future, the way you see things. I don't want to be stuck in this perspective. And I felt like that was a song of freedom for me that day. I felt like the Lord called me out of a stuck lens into his freedom that day. And I do believe that the Lord is doing that, that he wants to do that for many of us today, that we can look back on our lives and realize that there are patterns, there are things in us where we have been stuck. We've seen things through such a broken lens. But in the Lord, he restores all things, even places as far back as your childhood, things that have just become part of your personality, that maybe just a perspective of how you see life, that you can't hope, that you can't have faith, that all you see is the things that you don't have, that aren't yet, and there's not a joy and a thankfulness and a faith in your heart. I want to say that he did it for me that day, and he can do it for you too. He's calling us out of graves. It's not just he saved me that day, but today he's saving me again. And I think I needed to feel that again. I needed to feel that because he did save me, and it was an incredible thing many years ago, but he's still saving me today. And that response, once I felt that freedom, was what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I understood the words that those people were saying that night before. Thank you, Lord. It was so genuine because I was tasting freedom again. Sure, that was an incredible moment. And I think the Lord, he was like, he brings healing. He brings restoration. He calls us out of the graves. He's the only one that can do it. We need to be open. Say, Jesus, my heart is sick. Will you will you heal me? And then he is so faithful to, in those places, call us out of the places where we are stuck and call us into something that is freedom and joy and hope again. I really believe the Lord wants to bring us into hope again. You think, what does thankfulness even have to do with all of this? But thankfulness brings us to the place of we value. We see the value of what we have. Not like I did, it's everything I don't have, but oh my word, look what I have. I'm so thankful. And then we look at the one, the giver of the gift, and we say, you're so amazing. I want, like, you praise him, you see him rightly. And out of that praise of praising, you go like, I love you so much. And it's a cycle that repeats itself. The more we think on the things and we see the value of what the Lord has already done in our lives, the more we look at him and see, oh my word, you're so amazing, you love me. Oh my word, Jesus, I love you more. And it's cycles and cycles that build us into his perspective and his truth. So thankfulness is a gift. It might have felt disappointing coming out of that box this morning, but thankfulness is a gift that God gives us to lift our gaze and to see him, to lift our hearts, to not live with depression and hopelessness and disappointment, but to live in places of joy and thankfulness and peace and hope. It's a gift we have. But, yeah, my journey wasn't done yet. That was an incredibly powerful moment in the Lord, and I experienced that trip in a way that was like through his lens, and everywhere I looked, I could see his hand, and I could see the beauty of church and the beauty of hearts, and I could see things through his perspective, and it was an incredible experience. And then you come back home, and you're tired, very, very tired, and you got to pick up on responsibilities again, and you got to pick up on, you know, normal day life responsibilities. And sadly, a moment in the Lord wasn't enough. Very quickly, actually, I started feeling quite that same lens creeping back in my heart, and I struggled with it. I was even like, Lord, was it real? Did you really do it? Or what's going on with me? I'm almost feeling worse than what I was. All I see now is this heavy critical feeling, and I know I'm tired, I know I'm exhausted, I know we went straight into 4:12, and I immediately started feeling this thing, and I felt the Lord then say to me, it's not just the moments in the Lord where he does the work, but we actually have to actually walk it out, hey? We've got to walk it out. A lifetime of building up this defense mechanism in life to rather just see things through disappointment. God does an instant work of healing, but I have to now train my thoughts differently. And I realized this is it. I can't now just fall back into old patterns. I believe the Lord did something in my life, but now I have to choose it. I have to choose it every day. And I felt like the Lord said, you know, those moments you either, you know, for me, okay, I obviously run. So I'm running and I'm talking to the Lord, or I'm sitting in a car and I'm processing life and the lists and those moments where you're off and you're just thinking about the things that are, you know, not great and not done and the things that aren't, you know. Those are the moments the Lord said to me, you need to train your heart to be thankful. So there's this scripture in Philippians 4. Verse 8, mine says, fix your thoughts. So finally, brothers, fix your thoughts. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And I felt like the Lord said, this is how you train your thoughts. When your heart and your mind want to go into default mode, you say, you bring yourself back and you say, no, think about this situation. Is there anything I can think about that is praiseworthy? This person, this situation, this job, this emotion, is there anything I can say that is good, thankful, praiseworthy, if there's anything honorable, if there's anything pure. So I had to start doing that in my while I was praying, in my quiet times, while I was driving, to say, like, Lord, I'm going to look for the things. I'm going to look for you in this situation. I'm going to look for your goodness. I'm going to look for things to say thankful for, thank you for. And it was really hard in the beginning. I'm not going to lie. It's not something I was very good at. It doesn't come naturally. So I'd thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for this. And then very quickly, I'd run out of things to say. And I'm like, oh, there's nothing more to say. And it's not, again, it's not by the flesh. We cannot do these things in our own strength. So even in that place, I'm like, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to help me be thankful. What more, Lord? There must be more than these two things that I just said at the top of my head. And it's amazing. The more we do it, the more we see him, the more there is to be thankful for, the more we can just see his hand in our spouses, in our families, in our workplaces, in our situations. In fact, scripture says we should rejoice in our trials. So even in the tough things, we go like, Lord, show me your hand. Where are you? Where are you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that is how we lift our gaze and start practicing the gift of thankfulness. So maybe your thing isn't actually that you've been disappointed all your life. Maybe there's areas where you maybe just never content. Maybe it's always you get one thing and then you're just thinking about the next thing that you want and the next thing that you want. And we never just learn to look at what we have and say, I'm thankful. It's enough. Our salvation, if we just stop to think of what we have, he has saved us out of darkness. We could be thankful for the rest of our lives. And I really believe the Lord even wants to restore to us the reality of we are saved, that he does love us, that when we say, he saved me, he loves me, that it's not numb and emotionless, but that our hearts still break with thankfulness when we think about those things because it's real. It's not just that day. It's today. He's still saving you. Maybe it's just in life. We just always want next this generation is a more generation. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? But God is like, stop and be thankful. It's not that we can't hope for more, we can't trust for more, but if we don't have thankfulness in our hearts, if we just feel entitled to the things we have, if we don't even hope for things because what's the point? All of these things rob us of the gift of thankfulness, the gift of stopping, enjoying what we have, valuing it for what the Lord has done. Because, wow, God has done a lot. If we even look around this room, if we realize the people we're sitting next to, the place we have, the fact that we can run into his throne room with, you know, open arms, the fact that we experience him in worship, the fact that he has promised, like, just today, there is already so much to be thankful for. And if we go back to the scripture we started with, 1 Thessalonians 16, God says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and be thankful in all circumstances, because this is the will of this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And that sounds impossible, but it's not impossible with his spirit. If we just open up our hearts and allow his spirit to come in and we say, Lord, I want to be a person who holds the things that you have given me with great thankfulness, and that I go into my days with thankful hearts, with eyes fixed on you, he is faithful to do it little by little.
So this morning, I think for all of us, there's a place here where we need to allow God to come and search our hearts. It's not just something that we can hear and just go like, oh, that's not me. Like, I'm good. No, we actually got to allow God to come and search our hearts. And then in that place, allow him to come and take us out of the grave. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to take us out of the grave and bring us into a new open space where he's the one that cares and loves for us, and we acknowledge and see who he is. And so I want to ask just for a moment, if we can just stay where you're at. If you can just close your eyes, maybe...